Welcome to the Chocolate Cake Bites podcast. This is a podcast where we will discuss the sweet nuggets of goodness that come from living the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Ken Williams. The opinions, attitudes, thoughts, and ideas that we discuss are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily a reflection of the actual doctrines of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Thanks for listening and enjoy this week's conversation.
And as promised, we have Annette back.
Yay.
As not promised, we're not recording this. We're not. Oh, I don't know if anybody wants to watch the video of us. But here we are.
Here we are.
And so we had this fun conversation. I thought it was interesting. Fun conversation last week about calling people to repentance. And there was a thought that I had after that, and now I have lost it. So if it comes back to me, then I will bring it back up. But yeah, so we talked about repentance. And then at the very end, the very tail end of that conversation, we ended up, somebody threw out the word judgment. And I, as I often do, I said, stop talking. We're going to record this conversation. So today we're going to talk about judgment. Thou shalt not judge.
Okay, but what if, like, what if it's like better? What if it's more like, if you're going to be judgy, at least preface it with the fact that you know you're being judgy. That's that the first step.
And then you have to end it with bless your heart or something.
Bless her.
I think there are a couple different ways that we can take this, and I am not sure that I have an agenda yet, but we have the religious judgment that you violated some religious rule, and it could be as innocuous as you didn't prepare by studying Come Follow Me this week, and really, you should have done that. So there's that. And then we got into some of the things last week about making decisions that are objectively wrong, and then the judgment that may come as a result of that. But I think there's another element as well that we could discuss, and maybe it's all tied together, but the judgment that we feel or experience, that we feel from others, which that's something I may challenge as well. Can you feel judgment from other people?
I would say yes, even okay. Though it's probably, yes, I've absolutely felt judgment from other people.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to, this is interesting.
You can, like, your coaching brain and be like, oh, you're just having a blah, 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 blah. But I'm just going to say, yeah.
This is interesting because I would say, no, you can't feel judgment from other people. So I want to, let's play around with this for a little bit.
So here's the beginning of where I'm thinking of that is okay. Somebody I know texted me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep it super vague.
Super vague.
And I'm going to actually pull it up so I can get it exactly verbatim.
Was it me?
It was not you.
Okay, good.
And you'll understand. Well, I don't know. Maybe we should just leave it open to it was you.
Ooh, sure. Maybe it was me.
Explain to me why I don't logically believe wearing a bikini is bad. But the thought of wearing one to any church activity where ward members might be there freaks me out. Was that you?
Yes, it was me. And I have not worn my bikini in public.
That's embarrassing.
Ever. Okay. So.
And I think that comes down to judgment, right? Fear of judgment, feeling sure. Judged.
Absolutely. So here's, okay. You brought up my coaching brain, so I'm gonna just use it for a little bit.
I sure did. You bring it up.
So, if you, I've got a couple questions that are in my head. Number one, let's break this apart. Let's break this up so you can tell your friend. Let's just use a pseudonym, air quotes, Mark. No, let's just, so And it could be anything. It could be, I don't think that, if we want to stay with the context of the rules, quote unquote rules of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we can do that. We can do broader Christian rules. I don't think that non-alcoholic beer is bad, or I don't think that decaffeinated coffee is bad, or I don't think that rated R movies are bad, or I don't, it could be all sorts of things. So, mm-hmm. But for this instant, we'll just use the word bikini, but really it could be anything at all. So tell me your thoughts or some thoughts that a person might have about why you believe that wearing a bikini is not bad or wrong. What was the word that this person used? Was it, is there's nothing wrong with it?
Let's see. Let me go back to my, I don't logically believe wearing a bikini is bad.
Okay.
But the thought of wearing one freaks me out.
In a church
Not
context.
Not the thought of wearing one, but the thought of wearing one where other church members might see me freaks me out.
All right. So I think there, and I'm not going to make a judgment call on whether wearing a bikini is bad or any of the other things we talked about, vaping or what, all the other things. There are things that are explicitly mentioned in the church rules, but so I'm not talking about making a judgment on those, but so tell me a reason that logically something like that, you could justify that it's not bad or wrong.
So you just why tell you a reason why I could justify that it's not wrong?
Yeah.
Well, it's appropriate for the activity.
Okay.
Females are not responsible for the thoughts of males.
I agree.
For the strength of youth, this is not a person that falls under the under 18 category. This is a person in their 20s or 30s.
So this is an adult who can make choices. Okay.
Yeah. So I'd say that for the strength of youth, standards have been rewritten.
True.
That don't specifically call out bikinis.
Right.
Often bikinis, a two-piece, covers more skin and would be more, I'm going to use the word modest, even though that's,
I can see the paint on your face.
Then one pieces. I've seen one pieces that are very, you know, skimpy if we're talking in terms of amount of fabric. Right. There are, because you could have bikinis that show a half inch of your belly, mm-hmm. or like all the way from your hip, you know, all the way up to, you know, right under your breast. So like there's so much variety there, but yeah, I can say like it's just as, or more modest than some of the other bathing suits that I've seen out there.
Okay.
There's a whole litany. Do you want me to keep going?
If you want to.
I mean, I'm good.
Okay.
We don't need to have we could make this whole podcast a rant about modesty. We could do that, but
that'll come up in 2 weeks. I think there's a risk of, with any of the things that we've talked about and many others that we could add to this list, there's a risk of focusing on the letter of the law rather than on the spirit of the law. And I remember growing up, the message was one piece versus two piece.
Correct.
And you are right that there are one piece bathing suits that cover less skin than two-piece bathing suits. And the interesting thing was, I'm not going to mention who, but I have a sister who I saw at one point wearing a tankini. And what freaked me out about that, I won't say who it was. It was not you, but it was a sister that I have.
One of the sisters that you have.
I don't think she listens to this podcast. But no, she was wearing a tankini, and the first thought that I had was, oh, it's a two-piece. That's not appropriate. And that's an interesting thought, because that's a very Law of Moses reaction, I think, that Now the cat's found that I'm awake and talking, and she thinks that she needs my attention. In fact, Edison yesterday was saying, you should have the cat on the podcast. I said, if you listen to the podcast, every single podcast she's on, because...
Every podcast.
Yeah. So it's a very Law of Moses reaction, I think, because instead of me being focused on... Okay, let's be honest. Instead of me being focused on me, I'm focusing on you and how many pieces of clothing you're wearing, or what percentage of alcohol is in the drink, or what percentage of the substance is illicit, or whatever. And I think that just like in the early days of the church, where the Law of Moses was done away with, because it wasn't done away with because of this, but a byproduct of the Law of Moses was that you had people who were counting steps and things like that. And that wasn't the point. The point isn't the number of alcohol molecules. The point isn't the number of inches of fabric on the clothing. It isn't. But that's been the messaging. Now, I had a thought. You may continue. And then I had a thought that was maybe going to take us in a whole nother direction, if I remember it, after you finish talking.
I was just going to say, like, as soon as I had kids, I was like, I'm all over the tankinis, because they're more better, right? Yeah. If you have to go to the bathroom and you have a toddler you're chasing, you don't have to strip down.
Right. Or strip them down. Know?
And when my first year going to young women's camp in Virginia, their policy was no two pieces, mm-hmm. one piece only. And I talked to the leadership. I was in the ward, so this was a state camp, and I said, I do not have a one piece. I am not going to go buy a one piece.
Right.
Is that going to be a problem? I asked, is that going to be a problem? I don't even know if I'm going to put my bathing suit on, but if I do, just know that I do have a tankini. It is a full tankini, right? Mm-hmm. Like, shouldn't matter, but it was.
Right.
And they were like, no, that's fine. That's more about for the girls. And I was like,
double standard.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, it's because all those moms also were wearing tankinis. I also have a long body. So to wear a one piece, I'm revealing a lot more if we're talking simple coverage,
Yeah, I think the rule should be percent of body covered. So let's get the math people out here. And
you know what? Actually, that didn't work well, because in high school, it was like you could wear shorts that went to your fingertip. Well, yeah. That also is going to hit every leg differently.
Yes.
And
if I shrug my shoulders up, then I have very...
And we got very good at that. Like, I am standing up straight. Like, I am.
That's right. Get the protractor out, and what kind of angle do you have at the shoulder? And
yeah, I mean, we could just go to not judging, but that's a whole other hierarchy of sin and ranking sin. Like we talked a little bit about last time of, mm-hmm. Some sins are worse or better than other sins. Right. And, your judgment sin is just as bad as my sin to not cover that much of my leg, I guess. I don't know. So say your thing. I'm curious now.
So I want to stick with this, but I had a thought as I was driving around the other day, and my cat is using my microphone as a scratching post. So if you hear weird noises, that's what it is. I was thinking about something you said, I think it was last week, where you talked about this culture of fear and the, the fear mongering. I don't think that's the intent, but a lot of the messaging is fear. And so if you look at the generation that raised us, and I'm just thinking, it really doesn't fit this conversation, but no, it does. Well, we'll make it fit, because we always end up coming around full circle. So just before we started recording, I read to Annette a couple paragraph summary. It was a memory of our grandfather, written by one of his daughters. And part of the memory was that he was a strict man. He had a sense of humor, but it had to be on his terms. And I remember him as he was a little bit stern.
He was gruff.
Gruff is a really good word. And so think about that culture, that if dad, for example, talked back to his father. This is back in the days where corporal punishment was the norm. The belt would come out. We had a parent. I shouldn't reveal too many things. But grandpa made us, made not for us, but made for mom and dad, a paddle that they could use on us.
That's right.
And I just heard, do you remember this sound as you're trying to go to bed? And it's just one of our parents walking down the hall, just slapping their hand with this paddle. And so this is the cultural environment. I'm not making a judgment about the culture. I'm just stating that as the experience that I had. That's the experience.
It doesn't make it right or wrong. It just was a different time.
It was a different time, different knowledge, different experiences, et cetera. The point is that, because I think my question was, I was just observing that there are a lot of people, and we've talked about this regularly in the past, a lot of people are exploring their own faith experience, whatever their religious tradition is. They're finding that they have different personal beliefs than what their religious congregation really espouses. And so a lot of people are leaving faith traditions, religions, organizations, et cetera. And why is that happening more today than it was 50 years ago? Well, I think that we have that culture is who raised us. And that is not the culture today. In that culture, if somebody had questions about why do we do this? Why do we believe this? Why do we behave in this way? Why do we do two pieces or one piece instead of two pieces? It was very much, that was the rule. And you don't question the rule. I with the risk of getting too explicit, I have to make this an explicit episode. But I remember a leader, I was probably youth, this was not our ward. This was a different ward, a different stake altogether. But I remember that they had with their, and double standard trigger alert, but they had for their girls' church activities, basketball, volleyball, whatever it was, they had the cheek test that they had to bend over in their shorts. And if cheeks were exposed, then they couldn't wear those shorts, which is, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make a judgment about that. But the point is that we had this cultural experience where dissent was not expected. It was not allowed. It was not embraced. And we do it this way because we do it this way. And I think culturally, generally, but also in a religious context, things are shifting, that now we're embracing different ideas, different opinions, different experiences, different needs, different all sorts of things. It is not fully taken hold yet. But we have our children, for example, they've been raised in a culture where questioning authority, that might be the best way to put it, is not just allowed, but it's in many cases, it's encouraged. And so as they question authority, in whatever context that may be, they're discovering things that I think our parents would have had the same experience if they had been allowed to question authority. I think the mindset that a lot of times we have, that our generation has, that if we can just get them to seminary, then they'll get their testimony. If we can just get them on a mission, they'll get their testimony. I think that worked for the previous generations because they still had their faith journey, but it looked different because they were going on missions and they were going to seminary and they were going to church and they were doing the things. And so within that, I suspect in many cases, it looked very different than what we're seeing today. But I think that those same things I think grandma probably went through some kind of faith journey. She fell in love with a guy who was not a member of the church and had some beliefs.
Early 1900s. So it was a different time to marry outside of the faith. Right. That was, I want to say, a much bigger deal then than it would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that, so we have this cultural remnant, I think. I think in society, and society's changing faster than the church is, I think we have this cultural remnant of, let's count the pieces, let's count the square inches of fabric in the bathing suit, let's count the length of the shorts as it relates to the fingertips, let's look at all the things that are causing these triggers. And the result is we have this, I think it's a cultural thing that, especially in the church, that we are, I'm going to make a jump here. It is the same thing, but I think maybe I'll make my point. In the church a couple of years ago decided not to continue their partnership with the Boy Scouts. Boy Scouts was going through some legal challenges. I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but they decided to part ways. For 100 years, the Boy Scouts of America was the activity arm of the young men's program of our church. I know at people in the U.S. Correct. So I suspected, as I was watching this unfold, and I don't know for sure, but I suspected that there would be some people who are so invested in the BSA programs, which are phenomenal programs, but they conflated the connection with BSA with it's an inspired program, meaning if the BSA and the church separate, then which one is true? And there's some people that I know that would say that the Boy Scouts is true. And so the testimony shakes a little bit. And the same is true when other major policy changes took place, like dropping from a 3-hour block to a 2-hour block. Or I suspect the same thing happened with, give me another example. There's something that's on the tip of my tongue. It's just not coming out yet.
Well, the priesthood ban.
Priesthood ban is another example. So we've got the priesthood ban up until 1978.
Here, from when you're married to when you're sealed in the temple, I think that was more U.S. policy, but that was a policy change that mm-hmm. Now you could just do it on the same day. So that was kind of a big deal.
It was a huge deal.
There's some people that I know.
So I think not everything has completely come around full circle, but I think that the direction, I think some of the decisions that the general church leadership has made have indicated that we're not looking at the square inches of fabric right now. We're not looking at, and I think some of the messages reflect that. I think some of the messages are still rooted in some of that old school. Don't you dare ask questions, because I just think about, if you're going to cry, I'm going to give you something to cry about. And I'm not saying that that's what the messages are intended to convey. But I think as individuals, we're lagging behind some of that, where we still, and I'm speaking of myself, I'm not speaking of you or anybody else, but it takes actual effort for me to remind myself that square inches of fabric is not a thing. That's not what this is about. It's not about how many days since your birth until you are allowed to go on a date. It's not those. And I think that as we move more towards the letter of the law is as valid as the spirit of the law is as valid as the letter of the law. That gets uncomfortable. And that's where people like me are really easy to judge other people, other situations, because you shouldn't be doing that. And a perfect recent example is I live in across the street from Indianapolis, and the last Sunday in May in Indianapolis is the 500 race. Now, I've never gone. I have no interest because I'm just not as, I don't care. I don't, couldn't even tell you who was in the race this year or who won. Just doesn't matter to me. But there are members.
Listeners right there.
That's right. There are people, there are members who I know who went to the race. And it is, if I don't watch myself, it is easy for me to make judgments about them or about their spiritual commitment or their spiritual development or whatever, because they made a decision that I don't even have to make because I don't have any interest in that thing. Now it's time for you to talk because I've been talking way a lot.
Well, I had something really profound and I should have written it down and I didn't, so it's gone. But when we're talking about really it comes down to your understanding or your interpretation of insert whatever policy, instruction, program, anything like that. You've and this is a human thing, right? You've elevated it in your mind to be better than the interpretation or understanding than of somebody else's. You know, like right. They shouldn't be doing that because I wouldn't be doing that because, you know, we were talking about keeping the Sabbath day holy. Was that us?
We have talked about that.
But like, there's no, like the church leadership has purposely, I believe, purposely remained incredibly vague on what that looks like.
Yeah.
Tithing, 10% of your increase. Policy is purposely very vague on what exactly that means and how we calculate it.
Right.
And so there is this healthy sense of egotism when we're making a judgment call. Not when we're making a judgment call, but when we're like judging others' actions.
Right.
Of somehow our interpretation or our understanding is right and theirs is wrong, which goes with when we talked about this before with this, we want to be right. We want to do the right thing. And I think that is an unfortunate consequence of some of the teachings that came out of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Which when I look back now, I'm like, those were probably fear-based teachings that people afraid that their kids would not hold on to this thing that's really great. And so let's put this health. So we don't even want him to get close to the edge, right? So we're not even really going to have a guardrail up. We're also going to have 14 other fences.
Right.
And then the problem is when you go through that first fence and you didn't fall to your death, you're like, I'm literally fine.
That's right. This fence is not necessary.
You know, and then you're like, I'm also still fine. I didn't get zapped by lightning because I sipped tea or coffee, right? Mm-hmm. Like then I think it's created this environment where we do, well, then what even is real? Because this is what I was taught my whole life. This is what I believed my whole life. And then I think it comes both sides because then you have people that have gone through a faith journey or they've a faith expansion or they've had to rebuild their entire faith structure. Mm-hmm. And they might be judging on the flip side of, you know, why can't you just, why do you feel this way? Or why are you still doing that thing? You know, I have friends that wear pants to church now. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because one of my friends started wearing pants after COVID, after we came back to church from COVID. Mm-hmm. And the whisperings that were happening around this event of wearing pants was hilarious. She's leaving the church. She has no more faith. Like, wow, shoot, they were such a strong family. I can't believe that. Mm-hmm. Are they going to still let her have a calling? I mean, it was just like crazy town stuff.
Yeah.
And she and I were talking one day, and I said, the rumors that I'm hearing about you wearing pants to church actually are hilarious. Mm-hmm. And she said, wait, what? There's rumors? And I was like, oh, yeah. And she's the type of person that I could tell all the things to.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I was telling her, and she just looks at me with like eye roll oozing. And she says, do you know why I started wearing pants to church? And I was like, no, I mean, like, you don't have to tell me. I don't really care. Like, I probably would start wearing pants to church too, because I hate dresses. But she goes, I gained weight over COVID and I didn't have any clothes that fit me. That was so funny and so beautiful, because you have these people on one end that are making a judgment. They're being very judgmental about why she's wearing pants without nobody actually asked her.
Yeah.
Hey, I noticed you've been wearing pants.
Right.
Like, I've never seen you do that before. What's going on with that? You know? And so sometimes it's a matter of like, we don't know what's going on in their life.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why they're doing the thing that they're doing. And maybe their reason is pretty good and ours and doesn't work for us, but our reason is pretty good for us and doesn't work.
So I'm gonna go back to your friend who's worried about the bikini. And I think the story you just told is a great example. I would, if I were talking to her, now this is the coach in me who's speaking. My question would be, what makes you think they aren't judging you anyways?
Oh, exactly.
So it doesn't matter. If you wear the one piece, somebody's going to be thinking, well, that color is not good on her. And if she wears the tankini, somebody's going to say, well, she just looks frumpy in that. And the bikini, somebody's going to say, well, two piece is not as good as a one piece. So it's happening anyways.
Correct.
I wear my, I just have made it a habit because I think it's entertaining for me. The first, and I'm not going to make any comment about it other than the first Sunday in June, I always wear my rainbow socks and my rainbow tie, just because.
It's summer.
It's summer. Like, you know, I have people in my family. It's actually Marcine's
loud.
Family.
It's June.
There are people in Marcine's family who say rainbows. That's just, I think of grandma when I see rainbows. Yeah, so I'm just kind of, grandma's birthday's in my mother-in-law. Her birthday's in June. And so, yeah. So I think of grandma as I wear my rainbow socks and tie. And I've gotten some reaction. I get regular reactions to my socks and ties. But a year or two ago, I got a thumbs up from somebody. Nice call. And now most people just ask to see what my socks look like, because they know that it's going to somehow match whatever my tie is. But the judgment's going to happen anyways. So if you want to feel judged, because you are judged. Somebody's judging you. The difference is, which is what your pantsuit friend discovered, is that you probably just aren't knowing that you're being judged, unless you're doing something like wearing a bikini where there's, now, here's why I'm going to make an assessment. I'm going to make a bold comment, bold statement, maybe, that there is, the only reason that that would bother you is there's something in you that thinks there's something wrong with it. And so then you are looking, but then you're looking for anything at all that will support the fact that people are being judgmental. And it's going to be the looks, the eye rolls, the whispers. You're going to pick up on that. That stuff is happening anyways, and you're just not noticing it when you're wearing the two-piece. And you may yap at me.
No, I was going to say, I agree with you, but I'm glad to create a new phrase for, okay, I guess that's still yeah, but anyway, it could be simply you've been taught that was and you don't necessarily believe it. Because I think in general, we as people, we're not purposely doing things that we know are, air quote, wrong.
Right.
Right. Like this isn't morally wrong, but when you've heard your whole life
right.
that only a type of person wears this or does that, then, you know, one of my kids was over and we were talking about, I don't remember if we talked about this, about asking some questions about the word of wisdom. The friend is not a member of our faith. I don't know that they are religious at all. And asking like, now why can't you drink tea? You know,
yeah.
And we had some really good conversations. Like, well, what do you think is going to happen? And I was talking with a friend who was like, yeah, I was at this restaurant and I ordered this drink. I didn't know it had alcohol in it. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and like doing it. So it was funny listening to those people talk about like drinking the thing or doing the thing and not knowing mm-hmm. that it had I'm going to call it a stigma, that it didn't have a stigma. Uh-huh. Right. Then all of a sudden that was okay. But doing the thing like wearing a bikini where there is a stigma in our faith tradition mm-hmm. with bikinis.
Right.
And so I think it's more just maybe awareness of the stigma and instead of personally feeling maybe I shouldn't be doing this.
Okay.
Like awareness. That. I agree with you on the judgment thing. It's happening. And in one case you're looking for it. In the other case, you're not mm-hmm. right. Like I have checked the boxes. I don't need to look for approval or disapproval.
Right.
Versus I acknowledge that I am now not checking the boxes for a certain age group.
Right.
I would say anyone over like 35 mm-hmm. was taught at one point certain things about how we dress.
Right.
And so when you're not checking that box, then you start looking, right? Like, is anybody noticing? I had lunch with a good friend of mine a year or two ago and I hadn't seen her for a while. And I walked into the restaurant and saw her and went and sat down and she goes, all right, let's just talk about the elephant in the room. And I said, okay. I had no idea what she was talking about. And she goes like this, like she points to herself and she says, oh, I'm wearing a tank top. Okay. I wasn't following at mm-hmm. this point because I'm like, I've worked really hard to not make judgments about what people, I don't know where she just came from. Right. I don't know where she's going to. I don't know her health circumstances. I don't know any of those things. So I said, okay. And she said, and I knew she had had kind of one toe out for a while of the church. And she said, I've left the church. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And we had a good conversation at that point about like, what do you want? I'm still in. So what do you want that to look like? Do you not want me to talk about anything church related at all? Because I want to be super respectful sure. of where you're at. But it was interesting that she felt that need to immediately point out. And I'm going to make a judgment. I'm going to guess that it was that judgment. Like she was worried about it or wanted to maybe control the narrative of what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't thinking anything, you know, I was just like, okay, like, so you're wearing a tank top. I mean, I've run errands right after I've worked out where I'm in tank top or tennis clothes. Mm-hmm. You know, I've run errands on my way home from a tennis match before and I'm wearing tennis clothes, mm-hmm. you know, and I've just decided I don't really care. And I'm on my way home from a tennis match. I tell myself that I'm on my way home. It doesn't make sense for me to go home and then change and then come back out.
Right.
So I think sometimes it's more just being aware that you have stepped outside of the parameters of what the collective thinks. Not necessarily that like, I'm worried that I know I've done something wrong or mm-hmm. I know that I'm out of alignment with my values or, you know, maybe I'm out of alignment with what other people think my values are. Maybe that's what it is.
Right. So I'm going to stand by my comment.
You can stand by it, but you can be wrong. That's okay.
No, I'm not wrong. Am I wrong?
No.
That's what I thought.
I'm going to have words with Justin.
I'll ask him if he'll talk to you.
No.
Okay. Well, I guess not. I love that I'm still getting use out of that. So, no, there's, and it's part of our, I think it's part of our own personal journey of self-discovery, that as we discover who we are, as we discover the deep love that our heavenly parents have for us, that has nothing to do with whether we're wearing a one piece or a two piece. It has nothing to do with whether we're wearing a tank top or a shirt that covers our shoulders. It has nothing to do with whether we have one toe in or one toe out. It has nothing to do with that. Our behavior does not, it does not add to or take away from the love that our heavenly parents have for us. That's my belief. So,
but it does add to or take away from the love that we receive from other people.
I'm going to let that just hang. I know it's going to hang there, because I think I'm going to, yeah, but you, it's not the judgment that we feel from other people. It does not affect judgment that we feel from other people. It doesn't affect the love we feel from other people. I love your expression. I don't know if you were crinkling your forehead at me. It still goes through this filter of what we're thinking. And so if what we're thinking, we talked about this a few weeks ago, we're talking about the opinions of other people. If your opinion has zero value to me and you look at me like I shouldn't be drinking that beverage or I shouldn't be wearing that piece of clothing, it's not going to affect me. I don't care. Right. I don't care what you think I should be doing. If I do value your opinion, that I'm going to interpret the lack of, you're distracting me by rubbing your head. Sorry. I may interpret I may interpret anything as, oh, well, she disapproves or she doesn't love or she doesn't like or she doesn't respect or whatever. And so I think this is where I'm landing on this conversation. You tell me if, I'm not going to accept if you tell me that I'm wrong, but I will accept if you tell me that you believe something different. Okay. Where I'm landing is that judgment, we cannot stop it. We cannot stop other people from judging us. They are going to judge us. My responsibility is to not pay attention to it. That's part one. That's my responsibility when other people are judging me, is to not pay attention to it, because it does not mean anything at all. It does not tell me anything about my worth, does not tell me anything about the value of my soul or the value of my behavior. Number two, it tells me a tremendous amount about that person, which could be interesting that, oh, you think two-piece swimsuits are a problem. Okay, well, that's interesting for me to know about you, but it doesn't mean anything about me. And then, see, I'm keeping it away from the modesty thing too, because I have opinions there.
I'm happy about that.
And then the next thing is that my responsibility, in addition to ignoring your opinion about me, is to, I hate that I'm going to say this, my responsibility is to love others.
Yes.
And not put a condition on it. It doesn't matter that you're wearing pants or a dress to church. It doesn't matter whether it's a one piece or a two piece. It doesn't matter if it's whatever. That's not, my love for somebody should not be conditional on any of that. And we are not perfect. We are not perfect at this. And so I am going to have thoughts that are not conducive to that commandment, like you brought up last week. It's one of the commandments, one of the two main commandments. And so as I recognize that, oh, I'm having a thought that is not productive or it's not contributing to the relationship that I want to have, then I can address that. But it's not my responsibility to go up to somebody. And this, I think, ties into what we talked about last week. It's not my responsibility to go up to somebody and say, I worry for your soul because you have a two-piece tankini on, and it really should be sewn up so that there's no risk that I'll see any part of your belly button. The end. That's my final thought.
So, I do agree with that. Yes.
Well, that's sadly. Nice. Sadly? Yes. Oh my goodness.
I was like a good yeah, but.
I know you do. I was waiting for it.
I don't have one for that though.
So what are we going to talk about next week?
We
killed judgment. No. I think it's in 2 weeks we're going to talk about forgiveness.
We do need to talk about forgiveness. We could talk about this question from that other person. It would be an arm of this and previous conversations.
Okay, read the question then, and this will be our conversation for next week.
All right. What if God did not use guilt or shame? What if neither were worthy or righteous of God? Could he still inspire people to change?
There's our question for next week. If you have any thoughts, insights, if you want to be part of the discussion, reach out to me. Ken at chocolatecakebites.com. And yeah, I think that'll be an interesting one. Does God use shame? It could be a short one, huh?
It could be a short one, but it could be really good too.
So let's do the quick preview. Here's the teaser for next week. Does God use shame?
No.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll read up on Kurt Frankum's Is God Disappointed in Me book.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I think I've stalled ending this episode long enough. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you for listening to Chocolate Cake Bites. Please like, share, subscribe, and give us a 5-star rating and review. We'd love to hear your comments and ideas, and you can reach out to me at ken@chocolatecakebites.com. And before you end the day, take a few minutes to consider, who do you know who needs chocolate cake?